We were sitting inside a 20-ton submarine 12,600 feet beneath the surface of the North Atlantic, trapped under the crumbling stern of RMS Titanic. All around us, a blinding silt storm raged. Visibility through our three small windows was zero. Our submersible, equipped with numerous and redundant survival and communication systems, had been meticulously engineered to survive anything. We had telephones, antennas, signal balloons. We had enough power, food, and oxygen to last for several days. Just about the only situation no one had imagined was the one we were in. We had no way of communicating with our mother ship on the surface, and even if they had known about our situation, there was nothing they could do to help us. If the damage to our sub was not too great, we could carefully rise out of the trench, but if our engine was damaged, we would slowly run out of oxygen, and it would be several hours until the debris settled sufficiently for us to find out if we were going to live or die. In my life, I've made numerous small and easily correctable mistakes, and several cataclysmic ones that have jeopardized my business and even my life. But nothing had prepared me for this. The three of us sat there mostly in silence, each of us lost in our own thoughts. Our submersible was the most high-tech undersea craft ever built. For all practical purposes, it was considered indestructible. So as we sat below the Titanic waiting, it was impossible not to appreciate the irony. When it was launched in 1912, the Titanic was the largest and most technologically advanced ocean liner in history. Because White Star Line believed their own boast that the ship was unsinkable, they had failed to equip it with sufficient lifeboats. So when it struck an iceberg and sank on its maiden voyage, more than 1,500 people died within hours in the freezing sea. For decades, the wreckage had been lost on the ocean floor. But in 1985, with the assistance of the U.S. Navy, oceanographer Robert Ballard discovered it 2.5 miles below the surface. For several years, Ballard and his team were the only people to explore this remarkable site. So when my friend and business partner Mike McDowell, through his company Deep Oceans Expeditions, offered me the opportunity to dive to it, I immediately accepted. Ours was to be the first completely private expedition to go there, and truthfully, we weren't sure what we would find. I have an almost desperate need for adventure. Reaching remote, inhospitable locations has attracted me since I was a child, when I crept into small caves carrying only matches taken from hotel rooms. Being told I couldn't go, or shouldn't go, or was not allowed to go has always piqued my desire to do so. If I feel stuck in a rut, I try to escape from it through an extraordinary experience. My heroes are people who took epic journeys into the unknown, often at substantial personal risk. I am simply following the path that they carved into history. I fancy myself an admirer of men like polar explorer Ernest Shackleton, though my expeditions do not rise to that level of danger. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Before I begin a journey, I do a tremendous amount of research about where I'm going and the equipment I'll be using, because danger isn't especially appealing to me. And I didn't actually believe the Titanic trip was dangerous. But the dive had seemed cursed from the start, when legal reasons almost prevented it from happening. Ballard had returned to the site several times since his initial discovery and was actively trying to prevent anyone else from going there. When Deep Oceans Expeditions also found the wreckage, using publicly available data, Ballard obtained a preliminary injunction from an American court that basically prohibited other people from trespassing on the site. During the court hearing, Ballard had displayed a piece of plastic he had found on the wreckage that had fallen off the motor of one of the Deep Ocean Expedition submersibles, claiming it was evidence that visitors would be disrespectful to the Titanic gravesite. While Deep Ocean Expeditions did fail to notice this one piece of plastic, we were of the view that Ballard's expeditions had done considerably more damage. We ultimately prevailed in court for a different reason altogether. It was pointed out that the Titanic lies in international waters and an American court did not have the jurisdiction to dictate what anyone could or could not do at the site.